All right. Thank you very much, Kim Gordon. Steve Bertrand here. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch. This is the second half. The first half, as we heard before, hosted by Governor Rauner. All right, Kim Gordon, you were there listening, and you've seen a number of these. I have to thank everyone who sent us a text at 981-7200 because I got a lot, but I have to say 85% of them were about the governor's elocution.
Right, and, dropping the G's.
Dropping the G's, but aside from that, what did you make of the address?
Well, I think it's, like you said, it's very similar to what we heard last year, and one thing I think we both noticed, there was not a lot of applause in this address.
It was an odd thing.
It was pretty quiet.
You know, we each had a copy of the speech, so we're going through it page by page, and we were a full page in. Before
any applause.
And then a couple of times, you know, you could tell there were people in the crowd, well, maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't. So.
Well, and I don't know if you could hear it, but at one point there's protesters in the rotunda, and you could hear the protesters in, you know, in the chamber because the chamber was so quiet.
Interesting. I did hear that, and I thought maybe someone got into the chamber.
No, it was protesters outside.
Well, there's not a lot to clap about. There's certainly that. And so Governor Rauner gave his budget address, not to make too much of it, but my favorite was bankrupt. And
that was a good one. That was one of the best.
When he dropped his G's. The guy must speak that way because it'd be too hard to keep it straight if he didn't. We're going to talk to Terry Savage here, maybe about your budget. But I'm interested in what you think of the governor's budget in that speech as well. And you can comment on that. I've got a post up at Facebook at Steve Bertrand on Facebook. So log on, check there. If you're not a friend of mine yet, give me a friend request. I'll okay it right away and we'll get the conversation going there. Terry Savage is on a phone line to talk budgets. Terry, welcome to the program.
Very interesting first half hour, that speech.
Well,
very interesting.
What do you make of it?
Well, I want to tell you something. I try very rarely to stray into politics, but I think it's about time. And I will start with a disclaimer. I don't know Governor Rauner. I don't think I've ever met Governor Rauner, and I haven't contributed to him. But I'm a longtime Illinoisan, and I want to, if there was anybody applauding that speech, you heard me. Because I think it was about time that there was a grown-up in the room who said it correctly. The fact that you couldn't applaud or one side or the other couldn't applaud, it's because this is a painful situation that's going to require some compromise on both sides. And I think he laid out the foundation for it very clearly. Here's what I agree with. There is no way out by juggling more taxes or less spending. That's too painful. The real way out is economic growth, and I know you don't get economic growth if you're hostile to business, and the facts show us, whether it is our tort law, our workers' comp law, and so forth, that Illinois is hostile to business. It's not about where we're located in the country. It's not about the recession or the financial crisis. Look two states over to Ohio. There's Kasich touting the fact that he's in surplus in his budget. They have basically the same economy that we do, and it's really about time that the citizens of Illinois send a message to both political parties. Boy, it's taken both of them to get us into this mess, not only with our pensions, but with the unfunded mandates of the state, to freeze growth out, freeze businesses out, freeze jobs out. How on earth will you get the resources to educate our children?
You know, it's amazing to me.
I admire him for this.
Okay, I have a response to that, but in which the point you just made, it's amazing to me that there just has not been any outcry. You know, people just seem to accept it, and they're going along with it. They're not marching with pitchforks in the street. I mean, you've got CTU and, you know, the sort of the manufactured groups, but as far as, you know, my next-door neighbors or me, you know, there's no outrage, to quote
you
Bob
know why?
Dole.
Because everybody has... It will start now how directly you're affected. It starts in the schools when they're going to maybe cut teachers from your kids' classrooms. It starts when your mother-in-law is in a Medicaid-funded nursing home and there's no one to change.
But it's been eight months.
Well, guess what? But because, you know, think about you. The great irony is that my column, written and posted earlier this week, and there's no connection, is How to Budget. You can skate by for a while, floating from here to there, taking money out of this, but paying one credit card and not another. But eventually, as we all know as individuals, the day of reckoning comes. And the key point in making a personal budget, and I've given you a great new budget kit book and some wonderful websites, we could talk about that later, is that you have to know where you are. You have to take a realistic look at what's really coming in and what's going out. And the state of Illinois, the politicians of both parties, for years have buried their heads in the sand about the basic facts. We can no longer skate by. I think this is the moment. Maybe it's the moment because Rauner called it and said, I'm going to stand up here and spend 4 years doing this. Maybe the moment, if it had waited for the next governor or six more years, would have been when suddenly there were no way to pay teachers at the University of Illinois or workers in state-funded nursing homes or Medicaid reimbursements to hospitals who started turning away patients. Eventually, and when I say eventually, we're talking about the next year or two or three or four, with or without Rauner, this state is going to see the impact of having falling tax revenues, losing jobs, and reach the point at which you can't raise taxes anymore on people because, well, the last 12 people, please pay their taxes and then walk away.
I think like most people, most things, you and I agree on most of this, but I don't agree with the governor on his tactics and his message largely. I agree there should be changes in the workman's comp situation. Maybe some union rules, I'm not sure. But I don't like that he's sort of, and I know he did give on some issues early, but I don't like that it's essentially an all or nothing. And I don't like that it's, but I don't like also, Terry, that it's portrayed that he's doing it for me and for the people who make a lot less money than me, because we are not, or those people are not going to benefit by that. It's going to be.
Oh, yeah. Because somewhere along the way, I have nothing against unions. I'm a proud union member, AFTRA, and have been for years and years and years. I understand the function and the importance of unions. I particularly understand the function and importance of teachers' unions. Okay, so this is not that. This is, look, nothing else has worked in Springfield. For years, they've cobbled things together. They've faked things. They've borrowed money from funds. They raise taxes. If the alternatives are the loss of services, especially education, but police and all other kinds of things that the state funds, or raising taxes on the people who are working, sure, if we don't do this now, it's going to hurt people. Sure, if we do something to create growth, it will, maybe not the first year or the second year, but it will bring in economic growth, bring in tax revenues, and help everyone in the state.
But I think he could bring guys like me around or more people around if he just stuck to the specifics of the case, said, look, you know, here's where we can improve our workmen's compensation, or here's where it fails us. But when he puts it all together and says, you know, that it's a turnaround agenda and I'm doing it for the little people. And then, you know what, if he drops his G's naturally, he should start speaking with G's, because when he drops his G's, even if that's the way he talks,
not the issue. I've never
No, it is. I think it is.
I don't know.
I think it is the issue, Terry. Let me just say this. Here's why I think it's the issue, because I think he's talking down. I feel like he's talking down to a lot of people by doing that, by saying we're bankrupting and we're running and we're ruining.
We are bankrupt.
I understand that, but
we are, and we owe a huge pension liability. And all the teachers that, I mean, I went through Chicago Public Schools. That's how I learned to read and write and do math. Not so well at math. And we
You better be pretty good at math.
We need, thank God for calculators. We need to keep up on our promises for pensions, but the only way we can keep up on the promises we made to those who are least able to care for themselves, Medicaid recipients, people who are seniors who depend on state services, colleges and universities, is to have the money. And you get the money by economic growth. That's a basic principle. Now, I haven't read his turnaround agenda specifically, and that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fact that someone needed to stand up in Springfield to politicians of both sides and say, wake up and grow up. Let's work together and fix this situation. I think he used the word compromise in there three or four times. I think there was a whole issue about the Chicago Public Schools, which, frankly, you know, I've seen the stories. I don't know whether we're $600 million ahead or $600 million behind, so I'm not quibbling about the details. The principle is the moment of truth has come. We have to do something. And since the leaders can't get together to do it themselves in the state legislature, it's about time someone stood up and said, this is it, folks.
Okay, I'm with you there. I think maybe we're talking about style versus substance, because on the style,
yeah,
I might be with you.
I do.
Look,
I care about his principle.
I do care about the substance, because he's got to bring us along. And I don't think he's done a very good job of bringing us along. All right, we're out of time.
Are you kidding? Well, then read my column, because if you think the governor has a tough time budgeting money, How about you? So I have a new column posted on terrysavage.com. I want to mention specifically the latest issue of The Budget Kit, which is a terrific book I've written about for years. There's a link to getting it on Amazon, but Quicken, Mint.com, Mint Bills, Myvelopes, a bunch of techniques.
Check it out.
Us to budget.
Go. I like the fact that we're going to go to the web and you're going to recommend an old-fashioned paperback too.
First.
So
a lot
of tools there, and we'll kick that around maybe next week. Terry, I know we were short today. Thanks for talking today. I appreciate
it. Good talking with you. Bye-bye.
You bet. You're listening to The Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Just a few minutes left here on The Business Lunch on this Wednesday afternoon. One more thing about the budget. You know, I was talking about Governor Rauner and how I think the message hasn't gotten clear. So often in this state, when you talk about one side, it sounds as if you're defending the other. And I don't think there's much to defend on either side when it comes to this. So that was not my point. I think both sides have a lot to blame here. Anyway, that's what Scott Kleinberg was telling me off the air. Scott's here from the Chicago Tribune talking about social media, and he was not talking to me about that off the air. We're talking about Apple because this is another big story today.
Huge.
A fascinating thing. And I'll give you my 30 seconds and you correct me.
Yep,
but
please.
The FBI, they got the one of the San Bernardino shooters. They got the iPhone. They can't get in it. They want to know who he's been calling or the connections. And so they've gone to Apple and they say, can you create a way where we can get into this phone? And Apple this morning said no. They said it would be we'd be creating our own backdoor. It'd open up a Pandora's box that others could use. And who knows when the government would ask us to do it again.
That is perfectly explained. Yes.
And the world's on fire now because of this.
Everybody is just, I mean, it depends on which side of the aisle you are on. But yeah, I mean, it basically says exactly that. They want Apple to create a version of iOS software that does not currently exist. The kind of software that could read encrypted messages. And that is absolutely something Apple right now cannot do.
And it cannot as in physically or cannot as in not emotionally, but you know, for their own PR.
For both. For emotional, for physical, for technological reasons, there's just no way to do that right now. They built it around an encrypted system, so they want them to create something that's completely unencrypted. And that therein lies the argument. They're saying that they have worked with the FBI, they have done anything that they possibly can to give information about what is going on, but this particular thing they cannot do.
Okay, so are we talking about just having a password on the phone? I mean, if the FBI grabs my phone, I'm assuming they can see everything that's on it.
Well, yeah, but the information that's on the phone is encrypted, so it's getting that information out of the phone. So just typing in a password is different than just typing in a password. There's the information that's inside the phone, your GPS, whatever that information is, your text messages, they're not visible otherwise. And I am
okay,
not,
let's back up, though.
Yeah.
So let's say I'm dead. And they've got my phone and they want to know what's on it. Are you saying that without my password, they can't read my text messages?
Correct.
There's no way.
There's no way.
That's surprising to me. I just assumed.
Absolutely. I mean, everything lives in the cloud.
I thought the kid down the street could do it.
Nope. Everything is encrypted. And that is the kid down the street is their exact point. If they create this, if that piece of equipment is out there and available for anybody to use and get their hands on, even if they're as careful as they can be, once it's out there
but
and open to hackers.
They can do it on laptops, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's just a matter of, you know, their belief process, which is every single thing that they have ever done is around the security of the user.
So the FBI could go to your laptop with the court order, get everything on it without asking you for the password.
If they have the actual laptop, if the laptop is unlocked, I mean, it all depends. And iOS is very different than, you know, than another type of this is a programming language that was built around encryption. So it's completely different than anything else that was ever in existence.
And so what happens next? I mean, they've refused the court request.
Well, that's going to be, yeah. I mean, where does it go from here is the exact question. No one sees Tim Cook budging on this. I mean, the Apple way is, you know, they're going to stick to their guns. So I don't know.
So it was a magistrate, right, who made the request.
Yes.
It seems like it was a little short of an order. But
a little bit short.
An order could be coming next. And if not, then we'll start appealing it up and see where we go here.
And this seems like something that's going to go pretty darn high up. So, yeah. Yeah, it'll be really interesting to
see what
happens.
Think how connected everything is. And we have eight people sitting on the Supreme Court.
Yes.
I mean, this could be an issue that makes its way to the Supreme Court. It probably wouldn't be for years, a couple years or so. But yeah, everything little is big.
And it's already made it to the campaign trail. People are already talking about it. I mean, you know, it's one of those things that it's going to have a lot of life to it.
Governor Rauner took a lot of my program. Actually, it was valuable parts of the program because I'm interested in what he has to say. But we're out of time for this. When you come back next on Friday, I think it is, I want to talk about this Facebook study.
Okay.
That said, it was not a Facebook study, a study about Facebook that says Facebook makes you sad.
Yes. Yes.
That's coming up Friday. Scott Kleinberg, nice to see you again.
Nice to see you, Steve.
Bill and Wendy just around the corner on the Business Lunch.